Can be seated. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians 5:1. 3 weeks ago, actually, 3 weeks ago we were in Thessalonians. And then 2 weeks ago was the Christmas message. And last week was Dustin doing discipleship and ministry as a topical. And so this week we're going to finish 1 Thessalonians. And the title of today is, You Are All Sons of the Light, Sons of the Day. And that you is defined as all of you who really believe in Jesus and trust in Him as your Savior. And if you are saved, then you are, according to God, your sons of the light, sons of the day. You're paying attention to what His Word says. You believe in Him. You trust Him. You know what He says about the future. You believe what it is. And you're not taken by surprise of events because God has told us where we're headed. In the last days, we're clearly in the last days, and so you're living in the light. If you don't know Jesus, you don't believe in Him, you don't trust Him, you don't read His Word, then the Bible, we're going to see what the Bible says is you're living in the darkness. You're living a life in darkness and horrors that are going to be coming because you don't believe in the Creator who created you. And just because we don't believe in a Creator doesn't mean He isn't. Yeah. You know, a lot of us were, I was kicked out of the house and stuff. I kind of had the attitude of, you know, I don't want you to be my parents. Well, it doesn't change the fact that they were my parents. You know, it was my dad. And how much more, because He's the Creator of every single thing that's ever in the universe. You know, it's been in the universe. And why shouldn't we get smart, intelligent, abandon our rebellion against Him and just let Him be God? Especially when He is so loving of a God that He puts up with our foolishness and sends His Son Jesus for those that want to get back into relationship with Him. So let's read first verses 1 through 11, and then we'll go through verse by verse. We did, 3 weeks ago, we covered just the first three verses of chapter 5. And we'll lead in to our study with that by just a couple of things there. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, of people being raptured to go be with God in a moment, twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15, and the dead will rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up together with Jesus in the air, was chapter 4. But concerning the times and season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they, and this, I'm going to emphasize it like I did 3 weeks ago, when they, that's not believers, that's people that are clueless about the Word of God and Jesus. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. They're not going to escape. People that reject God, if anybody here, you're not going to escape. Your future is predicted in the Bible. Misery, suffering, temporary pleasures that appear for a moment, never satisfy, and then are gone, and then destruction comes. And it's not just the fact that our soul, you know, the souls of those that reject are going to be lost forever, but even in this world, when we get towards the last of the last days, there is going to be misery like this world, according to Jesus, like this world has never, ever experienced. And they're going to be told by the world government that got rid of Christians and people that fear God. They're going to be told, we're doing this to bring safety. We slaughter billions of people to bring you safety and peace. And people are going to go along with that. Yeah, get rid of them. Get rid of those people. And we'll have peace and safety. No, sudden destruction comes. There's going to be misery till the very end, to the point where Jesus said, had He delayed any more in His second coming, you know, first He raptures the church, then the earth goes through this time of unprecedented troubles, and then He comes again and He says, if I hadn't shortened it, there'd be nobody left. Men promise peace and safety. They deliver death and destruction because they're inspired by Satan. To reject, you reject God, you're being inspired by Satan to do so. He's deceiving you, if there's anybody here or listening online. But you, brethren, are not, verse 4, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day, title of today. We are not of the night nor of darkness, kind of like what Jason was saying. What changes when we become a Christian that makes us want to, you know, remember Jesus once a month or however often we do it? What makes it different? I wanted to get out of the darkness when I came to Jesus. I wanted Him to rule my life, and we come into the light. We don't reject the light. We love the light. We embrace the light. We want more of the light to be in us. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, aren't you glad? But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing, like we're doing today. 2,000 years later, roughly, we're doing it again. We're giving this message because all of you as believers, aren't you comforted the fact that we're not a them, we're an us, we're a we, that God has made us, separated us apart. He said, these people love me, you know, Satan, these ones, they said no to you. And they wanted to tap back into a relationship with me through my son, Jesus Christ. They went through the door. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now they're mine. And Satan can point at us and say, well, you know, they don't do this commandment or that commandment, just like Jason was talking about today. Yes, but they want to. They have a desire for that. They want my Holy Spirit to change them and to change the way they think. And they're sanctifying. They're getting into holiness. And it's my responsibility to change them. And I change them so I don't break them when I'm changing them. Isn't that awesome, too, that God just changes us by his power and his timing and the ways that he does? If he fixes us all the day we got saved, man, break us. We're too messed up. So, for when they say peace and safety, and turn to Luke chapter 21, 36, because we were going to cover this 3 weeks ago, but ran out of time. And this is still on the topic of verse 3, which we covered 3 weeks ago. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But the true church, are we thinking peace can be brought to the world? There are a lot of church people that think so. They're deceived by false doctrines. They're deceived by false teachers that tell them, you know, like the New Apostolic Reformation people, you know, there's a New Apostolic Reformation, new apostles, new prophets that are going to proclaim power. There's going to be power to take over the world for God. Very involved in bringing in politicians to try and, you know, make everything right. Well, what would have to happen? Let's say that were true. What would God have to do through the church to fix the world through politicians? The politicians would have to get in power. And then what would they have to do with all the people that don't want their Jesus? They'd have to kill them. You know, that's what the New World Order is going to do. Because God allows the human beings to decide whether we want to live for him or we want to live for the world. And so if you go, we're going to take over. And this is what the Catholic Church did during the Dark Ages. You know, we're supposed to take over. We're the church. Well, there's people that disagree with you. Kill them. Burn them. You know, even over a different view of what the papal, we believe, yeah, we're teaching now that the Pope is the vicar of Christ. He is the descendant of Peter, and Peter was the first Pope, and there has to be this man, and whatever he says, and however immoral he is, and how many whores he has in the Vatican basement or whatever else, that doesn't matter. He speaks for God, and you got to listen to him, and if you don't want to, we'll kill you. See, God never brought, he didn't come to bring political peace, because it's not possible. When was the only time there was peace on earth? A++. In the Garden of Eden, when? For how long? Well, we don't know how long. They probably waited a day to sin. Adam and Eve sinned. But for that day, there was peace on earth. Why? Because there was peace between the Creator and the creation. Well, when's that going to get back to that way? Not until Jesus comes back. And until then, it's just Cain and Abel all over times, all these, human history. Abel says, I want to serve God. Cain says, I don't like the fact that you want to serve God. And God says, now don't be thinking bad, Cain. You can be like your brother and you can just do what I tell you to do, but it's up to you. But sin's at the door and it wants to destroy you. And Cain says, I don't care what you think, and I'm going to kill my brother. And that's human history. Who wants to stay in this world hoping that somehow man, through the United Nations or globalists or any of these other deep state people, can do anything to bring peace? They can only bring death. There is never going to be a time until Jesus comes back to set this place free. And some people consider our attitude of not thinking you can make it happen as a cop-out. Oh, you just want to believe that Jesus is going to come and fix everything, and you don't do anything to fix it here. Well, here's the deal. What happened when you became a believer in Jesus? What happened? Was there peace that came into your life? Because all of a sudden you have peace with God. And if everybody had peace with God, if everybody used their free will in the world today to listen to the gospel message, to turn away from rebellion against God, to love God, then would there be able to be peace on earth? Yes. You'd have to get every soul to do that. Because then we want to be in love with God. We want to love one another, as Jason said. And so our mission of trying to disciple people and to turn away from the devil who wants to destroy your life and destroy the world and love Jesus who came into the world to save sinners, that is bringing peace to the extent possible. And every single soul that embraces Jesus is going to spend eternity in heaven, which is the real place of peace. And so our mission is soul at a time. And yes, we can strive to find a politician that loves God. Try and vote for them to try, because the Bible says when wicked people rule, the people suffer. I don't like to suffer just because I'm wimpy. I would rather have righteous people rule, but the righteous person has to love Jesus, because otherwise they're going to rule for, as soon as a person comes with enough bribe money or whatever else, they're just going to do what they're going to do. So it's not a cop out. Blessed are the peacemakers. And what God tells us is that our mission is to beg, to plead, to implore people to be reconciled to their Creator. And because when they're reconciled to the Creator, that battle ends, and then there's peace brought to the world. As soon as, in my hometown, the crime wave left when I joined the Navy, and then the future crime wave never happened because Jesus took hold of my life. Had I stayed a servant of Satan, who knows where I'd be, probably dead by now. And so I'm glad somebody shared the love of God with me. And then it says, and when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So here's they. They shall not escape. Are we going to escape? Yes. Because why? Because Jesus promised us. And I'm going to say the escape that is in context is what happens after the rapture, which is when the world is plunged into, you don't want God? Okay, you get a world where God pulls back and the devil comes in. And we get to escape from that. God promised us to be able to escape from the time of trouble that comes. Watch therefore, Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now, that can apply to the day we get saved, and it also can apply to what God had been talking about in Luke 21, the tribulation period. I want to escape the things that are coming on the world. How? By being worthy. How's that? By being washed in the blood of the Lamb. To be saved. And God is going to take His church home. It says so right here, Revelation 3:10. Same thing. God is promising the church of Philadelphia, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Persevered, why? Because you did not deny my name and you have kept my word. That's what it said a couple verses earlier. Because you persevere, and when they say, we don't like your Jesus, okay, I love him. I don't want you to talk about Jesus. What else is there to talk about? I don't love, your Bible. You say you believe in the Bible. Yes. Why? Because it's the Word of God. Well, we don't believe. I don't care. Because you've kept His Word, not denied His name, you persevered, and He will keep us from the hour of trial that's coming upon. How about much of the world? The whole world. Has there been a time in history where the whole world was plunged into a time of trouble that the Bible predicted? No. Has it happened yet? No. The whole world is about to go into a global government, and we're watching it form before our eyes. And as soon as it's formed, there's going to be a time of trouble. And if you believe and trust in Jesus, hold on to His name. Believe in His name. Trust in Him. And it's not fake. It's not just going to church. It's real in your life, in your heart. Then God promises right here in Revelation 3 that you are not going to be on the earth when it happens. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because we have our lamps trimmed with oil. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the ten virgins, five wise, five foolish. Why is it not going to overtake us? Because we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us and we're waiting. Because we're watching and patiently waiting. We know the prophetic word. God did not just give a little bit of instruction to the last days people about what the events were going to be in the last days. And we've been covering them in our prophetic studies through the book of Revelation and through 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to get into it more in 2 Thessalonians. It's coming. You know, and besides that, even if we lived 100 years ago, well, someday it's going to come. But, you know, right now I'm waiting because I know right now what my mission is, to be an ambassador for Christ, pleading with people to reconcile with their God so that they can have life. And I know the world's going to hate me. And I know that Jesus is going to commend me. You know, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's what my mission is. But we're not in the last of last days because some of these things can't be fulfilled. But that's okay because Jesus could come for me tomorrow and all I want to do is be doing what he told me to do. And you're not a thief in the night. It's not a thief in the night. You're not living in the darkness. You are sons of the light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. They, asleep, live in darkness and are drunks. Is it important for us to be sober in this day and age? You know, and I know true born-again believers, they struggle. Some of them struggle, just like we were talking about in announcement time, you know, that some people get born again, they're truly saved, and they can go for years. I know a guy that went 15 years, was in a drug rehab ministry, was ministering to Restoration of Men ministry. And he went to, and because in the little town that this Restoration of Men ministry was going on, I've shared this before, he had to know the other churches. And so he'd go and visit the churches. And the pastors were saying, hey, the Bible doesn't say that you can't drink. It says you can't get drunk. You're not supposed to get drunk. And so we went to another church, decided, you know, because that's hip now to just say, it's okay, you know, Calvary Church of Port Orchard should have its own beer. You know, after service, let's go make beer and compete with the church down the street and see what kind of beer they have and have a beer tasting party. Not to get drunk, of course, but just to, because you're allowed to drink. I mean, I'm serious. That kind of stuff is going on. And so anyway, he told his wife, he goes, you know, I think God's speaking to me. I'm supposed to, you know, I'm good enough. I've abstained for 15 years. And so I think I'm good. The Lord's telling me I'm good. And she goes, drug, alcohol addict at the past, said, that's the devil. That's not God speaking to you. That's the devil. He didn't listen. Got a DUI. Long story short, ended up drowning in his vomit a few months later. So, is he a true believer? Yes, I think he was. But if I'm going to be walking in the light, not in the darkness, I'm not sneaking around, going and getting drunk and doing this and doing that. And I say all this because later on it's going to say we're supposed to admonish one another. And so, God told me to admonish. I'm going to admonish in case there's somebody here, you're playing around in the darkness, stop it. You don't have to. You don't have to go out in the dark. You know, when I was living a life for the devil, it was at night. We used to take no-dos, you know, wait for our parents, you know, are they snoring yet? Wait for the parents to what? To go out in the darkness, to do dark things, to destroy, you know, to just live a life of destruction and misery. So it's time for us to live in the light, no sneaking around. Amen. They do that. Light and darkness, sleepers, they will not escape. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 35. You know, there's people, even professing Christians, that think we're crazy to anticipate the Lord's return. In fact, somebody was telling me that at the Christmas dinner, the table that they were sitting at, everybody was going, man, I hope I go to be with Jesus this year, you know, and stuff. And somebody else was acting like, yeah, you guys are crazy, you know. Because what, people that aren't really crazy like us, they want to live for this life, right? But this life, and we're kind of schizo because we do love our life, but we know something so much better is waiting for us. We know that all the trials and struggles and temptations are going to soon be over, and we yearn for it if we're walking in the light. So when people say, you're crazy for, you are just such a crazy person, you can respond by saying, oh, you're one of them. And then when they say, what do you mean one of them? Oh, you haven't read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, have you? What do you mean by that? Well, you're living in the night, you're living in the darkness, you're a sleeper, you're a drunkard, you don't care, you don't think about the things that God has promised us. What is wrong with you? Where are you being discipled? Who's talking to you? Who are you hanging around with? Are you reading your Bible? Are you hanging around with Jesus? Are you filled with the Spirit? You think I'm crazy? I want to go be with Jesus. And you want to stay here and live in the world and the sin and the pleasures of this world that never satisfy? You're crazy. That's what Jesus says, Luke 12. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Why? Because it's not a thief in the night for us. See, if I'm a servant of my master, Jesus, and he goes, knock, I'm coming for it. I'm ready. I'm ready to be. I know you're coming. Whether it's because I get run over by a truck or whatever. I mean, I am ready to go be with Jesus. I'm not waiting. I don't have attachments here. Jesus, can you come back some other time? I'm busy here. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. So it's not a thief in the night for us. And as J.D. Farrar said, and I, it's so good I had to use it. We're not wishy-washy, but watchy-watchy. How many of you knew that already? Listen to J.D. Yeah, what's wrong with you? I'm watchy-watchy. I'm not wishy-washy in my faith with Jesus. I'm watchy-watchy. He could come at any time for me. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them, who's them, us, the servant waiting, sit down to eat and will come and serve them, serve us with everlasting life. He's going to, I want to be at the door. I want a split second. I know when one ear is coming, and instead of waiting for the hearer car or whatever to just, you almost at times you want to just be waiting to make sure that you're ready when she gets there, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch being the last watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. You know what? I think we're in the third watch. I think God was saying, you need to wait. You New Testament, Thessalonian church, you're going to hear Paul say things that make you think it could happen any moment. And I'm going to have all my apostles tell you the same thing. So that's the first watch. You live through the first watch. Then you have the hundreds of years of people through the second watch. And then there's going to be the third watch where people say, if you don't come pretty soon, this place is going to self-destruct and blow itself up. And we're in the third watch. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you, which is really they, do not expect. He's warning the unbeliever. He's warning the people that are not going to listen. He's warning the people that are living in the darkness in the night. They don't expect him. How many of your Christian friends, professing Christian friends on Facebook and everything else, are watching? How many, think about this. How many are talking about, man, this Lord, look at what's happening, look at what's going on. That the Lord could be coming pretty soon to take his church. Okay? There's a lot of people that think we're nuts to be thinking about that. But I think we'll find out. I'm never going to regret it all the days of my life, watching for my Savior to come. And that's what the apostles left me with the mission to do. That's what this is saying to do. And people were doing it in the first century. They've been doing it through centuries after that. By the way, if there is no rapture of the church, Does this verse make sense? As I've emphasized before, it doesn't make sense, because if there's no rapture, if there's no in-between coming before the second coming, then do I need to watch for the Lord to come? Because let's say there's just the second coming. Kevin, you know, Jesus could come. No, not at least 7+ years. What do you mean? Well, because there's not the 144,000 Jewish men that are, you know, witnesses in the earth. There's not the Jews haven't built the third temple. They haven't started temple worship. There's not a 10-nation global empire that had, you know, the first 10 governors, 3 of them were taken out by an antichrist that then raised to power and took over and became the head. He didn't start a 7-year covenant, enforce a covenant with the Jews for 1 7-year period of time. At the middle of that, he didn't then go into the temple, rebuilt Jewish temple, declare himself to be God, like it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, to defile the temple and to stop the sacrifice, according to Daniel and Matthew. And then to have the last 3.5 years. So no, it's not. How can there be a thief in the night? How can there be a time of not knowing? See, if as a Christian, if there wasn't this rapture, none of this stuff, including his Olivet Discourse and the other things Jesus said, makes any sense. We just would know it's not going to come. But all those things are in the future for them. The church has to go first, because 2 Thessalonians says we're restraining that from happening, and we're going to be taken out of the way, and we'll cover that when we get to 2 Thessalonians. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. So he's warning all generations, you better get watching and ready. And he told Daniel, this stuff about the prophecies I just rattled off is going to be hidden until the last days. And what opened it up is the ability of the Jews to come back into the nation, so that I could then read these prophecies literally instead of allegorically, which is what people were doing for centuries, because they go, how can this be? How can the Jews get back in the land? How can we believe this would really, how could they ever build a temple? They're not even in the land. And today you would say, what about Peter? They, you know, Peter wouldn't let him do sacrifices. I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, there's going to be animal sacrifices happening in the future in Jerusalem, and it doesn't matter what PETA says. And I love Wes Bentley redefined PETA at the pastor's conference down in California. Pastors eating tasty animals. as we all ate a buffalo that he dispatched for us. So verse 41, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. New Testament, other scriptures, Revelation, that we're going to live and reign with Christ. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat, drink, and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That's a scary thing. Yeah. Now, again, that guy that was running the ministry 15 years clean and sober, do you think this applied to him in his thinking? If I was him, and I was saying, and this was not too many years ago, there was still plenty of evidence that it was the last days. If I was a watcher, do I want to listen to those pastors tell me something when I knew that Satan had his tentacles of alcoholism, you know, just hooked into me at one time, and I wanted to go play with that, play in Satan's sandbox again? Do you think if I thought, you know, Jesus is coming back? No! I don't need to go get that little another drink and just get another buzz. I'll control it. No, you can't control what the devil has gotten hold of you before. You need to just say no. And if he would have been waiting, he wouldn't have liked this. He wouldn't have gone off and got drunk. And that servant whom knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, to him they will ask the more. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. Now let that be a scary verse too. I had people on my submarine, you know, throughout the years, people that just want to play around with it. You know, they don't want to believe in your Jews, but they want to just argue and act like they want to know something and everything. And I have told more than one person, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Because you're not serious. You're not serious about listening to the gospel and truly humbling yourself before him. Well, so what? You know, well, because the Bible says the more you know, the more you're going to be judged. And the same is here today. I'm warning you, based on the authority of Jesus, if you're just listening and you don't act upon what you're even listening to today, which is just a little bit of the truth of the knowledge of Jesus, and you then walk out of here and you say, forget him, I don't care, you know, forget Jesus, not me, I'm an ambassador. Forget him, I don't care, I'm going to live my life for myself. You heard today that brings destruction. That brings you separation from your Creator for the rest of your life. And you are going to be more accountable than if you had never walked in here today. And I don't know exactly what that means, but apparently the separation from God for eternity, a place called hell, has different degrees of misery. And it might just be that misery is going to be, man, I had a chance. And I blew it, and I am stuck here. Because I decided that I didn't want to believe in God, which has to be by faith. It has to be by faith. Well, when you die and your soul that you find, whoa, there's my body. I mean, whatever you're doing, going down or up, and you're going down. I go, it was real. It was real. Everything they said is, I still continue to exist. I continue to live. And I'm going into a place of Hades and torment because I rejected the God of love. And I knew it. You know, it'll be worse to know you could have been making the deal. Man, I knew I should have bought Bitcoin when it was 1 cent. But Bitcoins are going to come and go. You know, a lot of people became millionaires by knowing it was going to be going up. But that's all meaningless. But knowing that you could have had a relationship with Jesus and rejecting it, that is going to be eternal misery forever. I know this doesn't apply to most of you here, but in case here or anybody listening, the hour is short. I don't want to play around, mince words. It's that real. We don't come here and do this and pontificate because we're playing religion and want to be Christians. It's because it's the truth. Because that's what's going to happen to every single soul in this room when we die. You know? When somebody says, oh, are you Christian? Yeah. When you die, what's going to happen? Are you going to go to heaven? I hope I'm going to go to heaven. No, you know you're going to heaven if you're a true Christian. Because you're hoping in Jesus who accomplished everything on the cross when he said it is finished, like we sang in the song, in the worship song. You know, we know he told us the truth. It's finished. So let's be truly saved. Stop loving the world, playing around with one foot in the world and one in professing God, if that is the case. For God did not, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he hasn't appointed us to the tribulation period, which starts in Revelation 6. When Jesus pops the seals of the scroll and brings his wrath on earth, who died for us, verse 10, that whether we wake, whether we're alive or sleep, we should live together with him. Well, wait a second, I'm living here. How am I living with him? Can you live with him while you're living here? Yeah. He's the invisible, you know, person in the passenger seat. If you turn off the radio and everything else and start talking to him. I mean, when Paul says, I pray with you without ceasing, he tells everybody that. How is that happening? Because he wasn't distracted when he was going around. Jesus, you know, I prayed this person that just got saved. I hope that you can minister him and disciple him so they don't get back. And, you know, all this other stuff that's going on. We can truly have that relationship while we're alive. But we certainly will when we die, which is what sleep is, because we don't really die. And we're going to go be with him. That we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. I'm comforting you with the fact that, I'm comforting you with what Jesus said. We can live with him. We can have a fellowship and a relationship with him through faith in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but those who believe in him must believe, but those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. People seek wealth, seek a better job, seek better retirement, seek whatever else. It is meaningless, nothing when they die. We should all seek God to have a relationship with him, and if we seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him. And when we find him, we know he's ours. We know we have a relationship with him forever and ever. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. See, that's the part I wanted you to... what admonish, because Jesus tells us to, and we do that, whether it's a pastor or a pew sitter or you here in this room, we admonish people. And that's the word means to beg them, to emphasize to them how important it is. This is something you must do. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. There should be no warring between brothers, right? There should be no warring between Christians. Why is there? Well, the reason why is because people get deceived into believing, crazy stuff about the Bible. And, because Satan always wants to twist the scriptures. Isn't that what he did when he came to Jesus and he tempted Jesus? He's trying to twist the scriptures. And see, Satan comes into some people and twists them. And so then they're not, it's, the object is not the affection of Jesus. It's the affection of something else, anything but. Jesus came so that you can give me money and then God will give you wealth. And all this other stuff that's out there. Well, no, you and me, those kind of pastors, we're not at peace. Because you're telling people a lie. You're making it seem like they can gain the favor of God by throwing some money your way. You're lying to people. You're deceiving them into the lake of fire because they're going to think because I sent off for a handkerchief that was prayed over by that guy, so he can, go fly on a jet and just go bless it and send it back to me, and I'm going to have everlasting life. I mean, they're deceiving people. Those souls will be on their head. So, but if we all are united into the Jesus of the Bible, we should be loving one another. We should be in complete harmony and be at peace with one another. Your families, if there's not peace in your family, guess what? It's because one or both of you are rejecting the things that God has told us to do in the family. Guarantee, not loving each other, not being self-sacrificing, being selfish, being, it's got to be my way or the highway instead of just seeking God and things. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. There are people that are still deceived and they want to be unruly. They don't want to do it. And we say, you got to get right with God. Faint-hearted. Are there a lot of people getting faint-hearted? Of course, because, is it wearing on you? It's wearing on me. I mean, it's just like, Lord Jesus, I just pray you would help me. I just see the stuff going around in the world and the deceptions and just fighting the fight and hardly finding anybody that listened to the truth and they reject the truth and it's faint-hearted. But see, Jesus then lifts me up and we need to lift each other up. It's okay. We keep persevering. Uphold the weak. Be patient. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Guaranteed, if somebody does you wrong and you sit there and you sit up at night during the day and says, this is how I'm going to get them back. But I'm going to do it the Old Testament way. I'm not going to charge them interest. I'll just get them back. I won't get ahead. Guaranteed, if you're doing it either way, you are rebelling against God. But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. The world's falling apart. Praise Jesus. Why do you say that? Didn't you just listen to me? I said the world's falling apart. No, I mean, God told me that this world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. It's reminding me that this is nothing but sinking sand, and the rock that I'm standing on is forever with Jesus. Pray without ceasing, like I said. You know, we have a handout back there that was from Family Policy Institute of Washington saying, get your kids off of social media. If you don't read that, and you have children, and actually yourself too. Unbelievable. I mean, reading through that, I'm not on social media, none, never have been since the beginning. Saw what was coming, saw it. I mean, God gave me a word of knowledge and the Holy Spirit. I could see the evil that that would bring to our society. But Kevin, we can communicate, blah, 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 until they shut you down. And that's after they've destroyed our society, destroyed our children. TikTok coming out of China is all about the homosexual agenda and trying to teach your kids that you're not, that they're not really born a girl or born a boy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it is destroying. You need to read that article. And if we run out of them, we'll get more of them. And how can I pray if I, you know, who's able to pray today or read their Bible today with all the distractions of social media, entertainment, pleasures, everything else? And if you're sucked into that, then look at this. It says, pray without ceasing and don't be in the darkness. Don't live in it. And this has to have a priority in your life. And it will set you free from the things that are in the world. Do not quench the spirit. Well, how do you do that? Ephesians 4:29. Let's look there. How do you not quench the spirit? Spirit inside. See, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And what can we do to quench it? It's like when we're doing stuff and the Holy Spirit is going, man, what are you doing? And that's why it says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Every time we swear, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And emphasizing more in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. That's how we don't quench the spirit, is we don't do those things. And when we do those things, we go, oh, God, I'm wrong. See, again, in the family, how do you bring peace to the family? Whoever is doing this is told by the other one, you're quenching the spirit of God right here, and you're quenching the spirit in me because you're living in the ways of the world. You're living in the ways of Satan. That's what Satan does, is he inspires people to do those things. Going back to verse 20 of chapter 5, do not despise prophecies. Wow. You know, Paul is saying, for the next 2,000 years, do not despise the prophetic word of God. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. How do you test? How do you test whether you're being deceived or not? We test it against the word of God. We test it against the truth. Abstain from every form of evil. Wow. How do I abstain from every form of evil? By saying no. Just say no. I don't live in that world anymore. And I know this thing is that I could be watching is evil, but it's so easy. No, 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 no. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify, meaning set you apart. And look at the wording here. Now may the God of peace, Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, himself sanctify you completely. Whose job is it to fix us? It's God's job. God, see, when we say, God, I messed up and I don't even know how to fix myself, but I'm in your hands. You are now the Lord of my life and I want you to fix me. He goes, okay. And he brings out the knife and he starts cutting away the flesh. And how does he do that? Through trials. Through bringing trials into your life and showing how wicked we are and getting the word of God into us to make us come to a realization of him. He is doing it at his pace if we let him. You just yield yourself to him and then he does the work. Sanctify you completely and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, waiting. He's coming and I want my body, my soul, spirit ready. Be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord is our goal. To live a holy life. He said, be holy for I am holy. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Can we trust that God is going to fix us and bring us safely to Him? Even cover over the sins we're still committing by the time He comes? As long as our heart is there with Him and we love Him, He's faithful. He's going to do it. We're going to get new bodies. We're going to be fixed. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And that's, you know, again, the Middle Eastern kiss. He's basically encouraging the church should be in an attitude that we should go to anybody and we should, I am so glad to see you, brother or sister. There should not be hatred, animosity, bitterness in the church. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. 2,000 years, us too. Isn't that cool? He's saying, I want this to go to all the brethren because God is inspiring me to write these words that are going to be an admonishment and encouragement to everybody for the history of the church. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Aren't you glad it doesn't say, and the justice of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you? But the grace is giving us something we don't deserve, forgiveness. The mercy of God not giving us what we do deserve. The grace of God is what allows us to serve Him, because while we were yet sinners, and even while we are sinners, Jesus came and died for us, and He lives inside of us simply because we say we want to. I want you, Jesus. I want to stop living for myself and for the world and for the devil. I want to walk in the light. 1 Thessalonians summed up Paul's rejoicing that the church was staying strong even under persecution. Paul gives an example of his own life and his devotion to God. Then he exhorts them to live holy lives. Then he gives them a sermon about the anticipation of the coming of Jesus for the church and the timing of it, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first and then us who are alive. Us. He said us then, and here we are saying us, and I think we're more likely to be us. For real, I know we're more likely than him, because he and everybody he taught were the us that just went to go be with Jesus because they died. But there's going to be a day that us is going to be hearing a trumpet blast and the voice of the archangel, and he's going to call us home and we're going to go be with him. And I hope everybody here is ready and waiting at the door for our master. Father, we thank you for your word. Which is, God, it's just a miracle in itself that something that was written by the Apostle Paul, you using him as your pen, really coming from you, that convicts our hearts to this day, gives us a hope to this day. And when coupled with the other prophetic words ushered through your prophets and apostles, has made our eyes wide open today that Lord, we are reaching that time. We're coming to the close of human history. Lord, where you're soon allowing the world to form its wickedness and evil plan to try and bring peace without you. And God, you're going to show the world that it can't be done and that only you can when you come to rescue. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to just worship you, to have a relationship with you, as messed up as we are, that you love us. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stay and worship God in this closing song.
Strong in the strength and the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory lies, continues till the day. Shall see him. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful, as saints of old still line the way.
Going to happen. You know, God inspires songwriters, apostles, everything. We're going to stand in glory with the creator of the universe. Let that sink in. Let us help that those glasses go on so we see the world in a different way. We see it the way it really is, something that's passing away. And each soul is so valuable out there. And let's try and minister through admonishing. God bless you. If you're not there right with Jesus, then please come on up. Let's talk. Let's pray together before it's too late. God bless you.